Succession is over, and we are here to talk about it. Rob Owen, Tim Benz with you. It is Pittsburgh Pop here on Trib Live, your weekly look at pop culture. We come to you every week. Rob from TV Talk, TV Q&A. You can get me on the sports side, Breakfast with Benz. Everybody was wildly anticipating the end of Succession. It occurred on Sunday. Rob, I watched it yesterday as I was leaving my hotel in Michigan and on the way back to Pittsburgh, and I thought it hit a lot of the right notes. What did you think of the end?
I did, but first we have to go back and look at our predictions.
Oh, what were our predictions? My prediction was it was going to be Kendall looking over the skyline of New York.
No, it wasn't.
What? That was, well, no, I said, but I thought he was going to win. I thought he was going to look over the skyline of New York.
You said Greg. You thought it was going
to
be Greg.
No, my hope was it was going to be Greg. I wanted it to be Greg. Okay. I never thought they'd come up with something that cheesy, unless it was completely a self-reflexive sort of Seinfeld with everybody in prison kind of thing.
Sure.
My prediction was it was going to be Kendall overlooking the skyline of New York after winning the battle, but alienating his siblings even more somehow in the last 90 minutes. And I was half right. He was overlooking the skyline of New York dejected, but it was because he lost, not because he won. So my imagery was more on point than what my prediction actually was.
Yeah, and I said Kendall, but then I also said, but it may be none of them. So I was kind of right up to a point and then kind of right after that a little bit too.
You know what I was rooting for? What I found myself rooting for, Rob, because I was a little bit internally conflicted about all this going into the last episode, like what do I think would be the best ending? And as the last 90 minutes were going along, I found myself watching the show and saying, I want one of the three of them to definitively win, and I want the other two to lose. Like, I kind of wanted a winner declared between the three. And strangely, if there was one, I guess it was Roman, because he's out. And I think in his heart of hearts, he never wanted to be fully in the first place.
That smile at the bar in his last scene, he was kind of like smiling almost like, I don't know. Some people have said it means he's going to try and win over Jerry now. But yeah, I think you're right. I think he got out completely, whereas Kendall is tied to it just because of the chip on his shoulder. And Shiv is super tied to it because she's still married to Tom, who ultimately was the winner. I thought it was here's how I know that they did a really good job. Even though it seemed pretty early on in the episode that it was going to go to Kendall, which meant by the end of the episode, it would not go to Kendall. I was not fixated on that. Oh, we've come up with the answer too soon. I was so in it with them watching and just tracking with the show that it managed to turn off my TV critic brain. That's like, oh, well, if it's Kendall this early in the episode, then it certainly can't be by the end of the episode. I didn't really even think about that until after it was over.
Actually, when they were starting to get along, like when they were swimming and they were at mom's house and they decided, you know, they did the whole our reductive nature of going back in time thing back to when they were all kids and dumping suicide drinks on each other's head where you just take everything out of the refrigerator and dump it into a blender. Like they were doing that goofy stuff the kids do. I was actually thinking I was going to be right. That, like, because I was with you, I'm like, there's no way they end it this cleanly. Like, they're setting it up to have a unified front for something to go eventually wrong by the end. I didn't see Shiv doing a pivot back to Tom as the way it would happen, though.
No,
and actually, I'm still not sure I like that.
I'm okay with it, and I'll get into why in a minute. But I will tell you that as it was going on, that scene with them, the hearkening back to the kids, and then also at the apartment watching the video with Logan in it. And you were right. You said we'd get one more Logan, and you were totally right that we would see him again, and we did. I almost felt like, wow, this feels way too sentimental for Succession. Like, that was an uncomfortable feeling to me because that just isn't what Succession is. So I was actually kind of relieved when Shiv made that turn. There are a bunch of different ways you can look at that. So one of the most fascinating things to me was when Shiv storms out of the conference room, and then they all end up in a different conference room. And they bring up the murder that happened at the end of season one. And Kendall's reaction is, which? And then Roman says, wait, what? There was more than one? And that made me question, like, what? So the idea of Shiv bringing up, you can't be CEO because you've got this dark stain in your past, and the unspoken thing being, and it may come out. To me, that almost seemed more like a justification from Shiv as opposed to an actual reason. And yet, it was a pretty good justification. And I mean, a pretty good justification and a pretty good reason that why he shouldn't be CEO. But I'm still haunted by that witch. It makes me wonder, what did Kendall do that we didn't see?
So that's the setup for the sequel?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there's going to be a sequel. But
you don't think there's going to be like a sort of an El Camino movie or something like that, a 90-minute movie like we saw for Breaking Bad?
Never say never, but I tend to doubt it. I mean, I don't know. In a universe where people let things lie, I wouldn't see it happening. But in our current universe, maybe it very well might. But as far as Shiv's turn goes,
a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people said it was anti-feminism.
Oh.
I've seen a lot of that
online. I didn't think so. I mean, to me, you know, a couple episodes ago, when Kendall caught on to her with the whole election thing, and that whole election episode, remember, she was the one who kind of turned on them. And in this case, it was Ken. I don't know. I did not think it was anti-feminist at all. I thought it was her sort of staking her own, like, you know, I love you, but I cannot stomach you, and not wanting to have to put up with him as the CEO. Now, of course, she has to stomach being the wife of the CEO, and you can't argue there which is worse, being the wife who has no power or one of the kids getting in. So yeah, I don't know.
I didn't buy, from a character standpoint, I couldn't see her. That's the one thing that's going to sit with me uncomfortably when thinking back to this. I just don't see the justification for her character to leap to Tom, who's the most recent one to have scarred her, as opposed to Kendall, whereas, you know, she's just having second thoughts.
But I feel like, you know, Kendall's presence as the anointed one has scarred her whole life. And I didn't see it so much as her giving it to Tom as her not wanting Kendall to have it.
They could have done that and had everybody lose and still have the same shots at the end of Roman at the bar and Kendall overlooking the Hudson River and disbelief and disappointment and Shiv being locked into her life with Tom. They could have done that. Like, they could have had Ewan flip at the end the same way that they had the mom flip in the Italian betrayal scene. Like, they could have done it multiple different ways and still have everybody lose if that was the goal. I felt that was a little bit too much of a character departure on Shiv's part. For as angry as she was at Tom for being the CEO to take her gig with Mattson, I just can't see her aligning herself and having that be considered the lesser of two evils. But that's just me. That's where I was on it.
So we should talk about how one of the characters' names possibly predicted their rise to
power. Oh, the Wamsgams thing that you sent me? Yeah. Is this tracking? Is this gaining momentum on Twitter? There's a woman, right? Where's she from? Is she a TV critic somewhere?
I don't know. And evidently this has been theorized in years past. I only became aware of it, you know, in the past couple of days.
The suggestion is that it was Tom all along because his last name is Wamsgams. And that's a very odd surname to come up with, A. And B, if you look in history, one of the few other people who is famous for having that last name is a guy who played for either, I can't remember if it was Philadelphia Phillies. Oh, was it Cleveland? Okay. Yeah. He turned the only triple play in the history of the World Series. So he took out three people at once.
Yep. It was Bill Wamsgans, spelled slightly differently. Tom's Wamsgans has one S at the end. Bill has two S's at the end.
Do we really think that the English creator of Succession went that deep to find somebody else named Wamsgams? That does that even compute to him?
Well, according to Frank Rich, an executive producer on the show, it's false that Tom's family name was picked before they'd shot the first season, before they had chosen a successor internally. And supposedly that was a family name of a staff member, of somebody on the Succession, presumably production or
Got
writing
it. That makes a lot more sense than a baseball player from the 1920s for an English showrunner who probably doesn't even know anything about the sport. But
It's a fun theory, though. I love the theory.
right, Rob. So what's the next big show? What does everybody track until the end now? Well, I guess Ted Lasso is coming up, right?
Ted Lasso finale is this week, I believe. I have not seen it yet. Maybe we can talk about that one next week. I think certainly it will not be FUBAR, which is the
Oh,
new
yeah, let's get
Arnold
to that. This is the Arnold
Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzenegger show.
Yes, on Netflix. Arnold's first series, and it's basically a bad CBS show. It's by the guy, written by the guy who did Scorpion a few years ago on CBS, which was kind of a lighthearted action adventure thing. And FUBAR, which is Schwarzenegger's new Netflix show, is essentially True Lies the series. Not the True Lies the series that CBS just did and failed with. But basically they're taking the same premise where Arnold is a spy. His family doesn't know. He's getting ready to retirement because he's getting too old for that, fill in the blank. And then it turns out that another family member is a spy too, and so then they have to be spies together. And it's just very plain. It's so derivative of things we've seen in the past. The dialogue is really kind of cringy, attempting to be funny. Arnold is as gives as good a quip as he can with the writing he's given, but it's not very well written. It's basically a case of the week, and then it ends on a cliffhanger, but then the cliffhanger gets resolved in the first 30 seconds of the next episode. There is an overarching arc of the bad guy they're trying to take down all season, but yeah, it was not a show for me.
How about some local nuggets, Rob? First, let's get to a local contestant and how they did on Survivor. And then I guess there's some newcomers at Channel 11, right?
Correct. So on Survivor, Heidi, who lives in Jefferson Hills, made it to the final two. She did extremely well by sort of playing a quiet, fly below the radar game. But I think ultimately the reason she didn't win is because she didn't have the social connections, because the guy who won, Yam Yam, had made the social connections. And Survivor is much as much a game of strategy as it is social connections. And she didn't quite have that. So all the votes went to Yam Yam, except one went to Heidi. I talked to her last week, and she clearly had a blast playing, and she is game for a an all-star season if they should call her, but I don't think she's gotten that call quite yet.
And who's coming on board at PXI?
So they've hired a couple people. Addis Uklo is the new weekend morning meteorologist. He grew up in Lawrenceville and Aspinwall. He's actually been freelancing for the station since last August, but he became full-time in May. Then there's Antoinette DeBell, who is a new full-time reporter. I don't think she has local ties particularly. But then the other person is a familiar face, but a different name. So Lonnie Rivera, it has come aboard as a free. She's a freelancer, but I think with a fairly regular schedule on Channel 11. And she used to be on Channel 11 from 2003 to 2007 as Yolanda Hawkins. When she left Channel 11 in 2007 and went to Los Angeles, she changed her name to Lonnie Rivera, although Lonnie is a nickname for Yolanda. So she just went with that. And Rivera is her father's last name, where Hawkins was her mother's last name. And she just wanted it to be. And Lonnie, I guess, is special to her mom. So she wanted her on-air name to be more of a tribute to both parents and also what everybody called her. So
She's rebranding.
she rebranded a long time ago. But it's just
My name is now Max. I was going to say this. The lower third is just going to say Max reporting from Brentwood or
No,
whatever.
no. it's a lot. But yeah, so she is back on the air. So some folks may recognize her face, but scratch their heads over the name. But that's the explanation for that.
So I also had some friends, Rob, that wanted me to float this one at you. I'm catching you off guard with this one. I forgot to bring this up in our email chain. But we were talking on the way down to the Rival Sons concert in Morgantown over the weekend about Amanda Peet. Like, she did the chair here, right?
Yep.
Yeah, her kid is going to Pitt. Is that right?
I don't know if that's true or not.
Somebody said that they had seen her here.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere, but I'm
yeah. Well, you wrote it actually.
I did.
Well, I take that back. She was trying to get into Pitt. She wasn't sure if she was getting in.
Okay.
One of my friends insists that they saw her recently, and I'm not sure if recently means like really recently or recently like back in January. When the chair was still being filmed. I think that's when you wrote the story on
it. Well, no, if it was the most recent Amanda Peet story, that was a year after the chair had been filmed when she was doing press for Fatal Attraction. And I talked to her in January of 2023 about the chair not getting renewed for a second season at Netflix. And maybe that's where I don't remember that. I'd have to look it up, but maybe she and I talked about her daughter's interest in Pitt at that point.
Well, maybe her daughter got into Pitt, and maybe Amanda Peet will still film something here in the future. And I hope so, because a big Amanda Peet fan, loved Brockmire. That was one of my all-time favorite
shows. I remember you were a big fan of that.
Huge fan of Brockmire and Amanda Peet, especially in season one. So we can all hope. All right, Rob, great job in following Succession throughout the course of the season. It was fun to talk about. And I don't know, I'm going to have to adopt a new show now that's actually current, because I'm going back in time and watching White Lotus now. I mean, that's way since... Like you said, there might be a season three, right?
There definitely is a season three. It's going to be shot in Thailand, I believe. But I don't know if or when production begins.
Well, then I will try to catch up in time so we can do season three of The White Lotus live.
That would be awesome.
I can be caught up by that point. And you can read Rob at the Trib Live for TV Talk, TV Q&A. What you got coming up this week?
TV Q&A, someone wonders, with WPCW disaffiliating from the CW, will that impact their late news and nightly sports call show? That's TV Q&A. And then TV Talk, sort of taking the temperature of the local television market, and also ratings from May Sweeps.
All right. And I will be on the sports side, I suppose, at this point, doing nothing but tracking who the next Penguins GM will be, because the Pirates are back below 500 and we've still got a couple months to go before football starts. So that is where my lot in life is for the foreseeable future. Let's put it that way. All right, Rob, thanks. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks.
This is Pittsburgh Pop.